Beyond the Reaper starts now. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Reaper podcast. I'm your host, Jay Hill. Today we have in studio Dan, the happiness coach, talking about his NDE and his life after his NDE and his inspirational message that goes with it. Let's check it out.
Hello, my name is Dan Hennessy. I call myself Dan the Happiness Coach, and in 2018, well, actually, there's sort of a backstory to the backstory, but in 2018, I had a near-death experience through a psychedelic substance called DMT. For those that don't know, DMT is dimethyltryptamine. It's something that's within our bodies. It's something that's within plants. It's very ubiquitous throughout all of life, really. And what science has now shown is that when we pass on from this life and when we're born, we have this huge burst of DMT that gets released in both of those situations. It also happens in a smaller amount when we dream. So it's been coined the spirit molecule because it sort of takes you right to that divine, where it kind of plucks you out of reality is how I describe it. And so anyway, a near-death experience and a DMT experience, when the DMT experience is at a, because there's levels to it, there's different ways you can get involved with that. But at a certain level, they're basically the same thing. And that's what I experienced. And the short version is, I was basically taken on this wild ride. And at the end of it, I was basically given a choice where I could either continue on into non-physical, which you would call maybe the spirit realm or a higher dimension, or basically who we are truly, our higher self. You can continue on into the non-physical, or you can go back into this body as Dan. And it's one of those things where the whole point of that process was to show me that we all have choice. We all have free will. Even though from a higher perspective, we plan out these possibilities. The way I describe it is kind of like a video game. And inside the video game, there's all the options that you can do, right? You can go left, you can go right, you can go this way, you can go that way. But there's a process of you go from this level to this level to this level to this level. But you get to choose your way through that, right? You can, some people are better at the game, some people aren't as good at the game. You have all these choices within the game. So, you know, this debate over, is there free will? Is it everything predestined? It's both. And what I was shown is that this whole existence is a huge giant party that we get to play in and we get to create in whichever way we prefer. And so life is this huge paradox. Because on one hand, you know, everything seems to be very real and seems to be very concrete and seems to be very, you know, one way. But then, as our science is now showing, especially our quantum physicists are showing us that, well, when you keep going down to the breaking this particle down and then break that particle down and then break that particle down, there's sort of nothing there. It's just these waves of energy, these fluctuations of electrons popping in and out of existence. And essentially what quantum physics is saying is that this reality isn't real, at least not in the way that we once thought. So getting back to my near-death experience, so I was basically taken out of time and space. And when you do that, you have this whole different awareness that comes through, because time and space is actually created by us and our beliefs and our perception of what's going on. And that's why when you change the way you think, you change your reality. If you start to think, for example, what I help people do is I help them to see the ways in which their beliefs actually aren't helping them any longer. And then by observing them in a certain kind of way, we can transform them, we can upgrade them, we can elevate them, we can expand them. And then all of a sudden you have this new perspective of reality. It's kind of like when you watch a movie, you can't, like say like The Matrix was a great movie, right? In 1999, I was like 10 or 11 when it came out. And once you see that movie, if you resonated with it, you can't unsee that movie, right? You now have this concept of these things, and it was presented in a certain kind of a way. And that's what life experience is. So words don't teach us, life experience does. And when you go through a certain process, such as a near-death experience or a DMT experience or a meditative experience or any type of, really any experience, you now have that under your belt and you can't go backwards. You can only expand beyond that. And the near-death experience is, for people that have that, essentially it's sort of set up for us to realize who we really are. We're not just these physical bodies. This is like a 1% of us. It's like, I explain it like a little pinky finger sticking out into reality, and we're sort of, our larger self, our higher self, our soul, whatever you want to call it, is sort of animating that and lighting us up in a way. You know, it's funny, the word soul actually goes back to this idea of soul, S-O-L, the sun, which has been referred to as the sun. It's this light that comes through us, which is why if you've ever seen anybody pass away or been around, you know, at a funeral, you know, if you've had that experience, you can see that the light is gone. And if you're there at the moment of transition, it's this very surreal experience that you can feel deep within you, that vessel that was once your grandma or grandpa or whoever, it that wasn't actually who they are. There was some sort of essence or some sort of light in them. And we actually know now that we, as human beings, we glow. Our DNA emits photons of light, biophotons. We're actually bioluminescence. And there's other animals that do this in a much more obvious way. But we actually glow at a very low, low level, according to what we can see and perceive with our human eye. But we can do this with technology that we have. So we're actually, we are born enlightened. You know, this word enlightenment means to lighten up. The first, you know, the old saying, the first step to enlightenment is to lighten up. Because we are actually light. And in that near-death experience, it's not that you're being talked to like I'm talking to you right now. It's like your mind is now synced up with your higher mind, or the highest mind, the universe. And it is sort of instantly relaying this telepathic sort of understanding that, like I said, this happened in 2018, and these things are still unfolding. It's sort of like a fractal hologram that keeps unfolding and unraveling if you want to continue to be curious about it. And this is the most awesome part about the whole experience, is that, again, you get to choose. And I was shown how all of these spiritual concepts that I had before that, and then later came to know after that, it showed me how they actually function. So I was like shown the Matrix, basically, just like how the movie sort of tries to show it in its very artistic kind of a way. I was shown that the Matrix is actually you. In your belief systems, that our higher self allows us to sort of fill in this grid so that we can have this experience. Again, that we sort of constructed, but set up to be in this video game sort of a way. And I'm trying to make this simple, right? This is something that is very difficult to explain. And I'm a pretty good communicator, I think. And I'm still trying to find ways to describe it, because it was so immensely beautiful. There's nothing to fear. This is one of the main things I want to get across to people too, because so many people ask me about it and they're so scared about what happens next. We've been taught to fear the unknown, but the unknown is just more you. It's just more of yourself. It's more of that, again, we're this little 1%, and we're walking around going, oh, this is who I am. I'm this body, I'm the skin color, whatever religion I was brought up in, or what, you know, whatever culture I was brought up in. These are just, it's just like a hat you're wearing for the moment. You know, it's just a very temporary experience for you to play a certain role, to have certain life experiences, so that when you wake up from this dream, from this Matrix dream that you're creating and editing, by the way, on the fly, moment to moment, decision by decision, and you're doing this billions of times per second, you have so much power, you don't even know it. You can't even see it because it's so innate to us. I like to use the analogy of like a fish in water, and the fish is like, what water? You know, the water is so everywhere that the fish doesn't even realize it's a thing because it's just so a part of its ecosystem. We have so much power within us. We have so much ability within us. We have so much light within us. We are literally the universe packaged up in this, you know, amazing body, this amazing vessel that can do so much and create so much and experience so much. And we've been taught to limit that. And we're now at this point in time. And by point in time, I mean like the last couple thousands of years, right? Because we think of time as being, you know, like time is an illusion, basically. And there's only the now. But in how we are describing time, this is only a very small blip in the existence, because we're talking about infinite. We're talking about eternality. And we're all now waking up to this idea that maybe we're not just human. Maybe we're not this thing that's here for a little while, we die, and then nothing happens. And so I've always been very curious about this. And I think when you have a pure intention in your heart, you call things into your experience. So if you're really curious about anything, if you're really curious about plants, you're going to start to learn all this stuff about plants or get this stuff coming to you. Kind of like how social media algorithms, you know, if you click on something or if you view something, it's going to give you more of that. That's basically how the universe works. And what we're going to see with different things like AI and whatever else is on the horizon is it's actually just more of us. It's more of the universal us coming into fruition, coming into our field of view now because we're ready for it. And if you're not ready for something, it can't show up. So if you have fear within you, and we all have fears to certain degrees, it's part of the process, it's part of the growing process. But if you're really hyper-focused on that, whatever fear you really have is going to come into your experience in some kind of a way so that you can see through it and see through the illusion of it. Because we're all on this trajectory of seeing through the so-called matrix, seeing through the so-called illusion. And by the way, matrix has Latin roots meaning mother. And matter also, the word matter also has Latin roots going back to the word mother. Essentially, the mother universe is birthing this through us. And since we're all this one huge organism, we are co-creating with that, in a sense, from this human perspective. So to sort of recap, to make this really simple and straightforward, this experience is much like a hologram, a video game, a simulation, whatever resonates with you. And when we leave this vessel and go on to the next experience, which is just another form of life and existence, because you're eternal, you exist, you just exist, you sort of wake up from a dream where it's like the movie is over. You watch the movie, you have the experience, and boom. And now you download all of that wisdom that you've got from those experiences. And people will go, well, but what do you mean? When somebody dies, they're not here anymore. So that's real. They're not here. And so what I also want to communicate and what I was also shown is that there's existence or reality, baseline reality, and then there's experience that sits on top of that. So our experience is very real. All the emotions you feel, you seeing somebody pass away, that experience you have is 100% real. But it's not necessarily reality, because we can have a layer of experience that sits on top of it. And there's purpose for that, because we're here to have this emotional journey, basically. We're here on an emotional journey that has no real destination. And if you realize some of these deeper things within you, if you know yourself more deeply, which is what this whole process is about, getting to know yourself at a deeper level, what naturally arises is this level of joy or happiness because you become more in tune with who you really are, which is this, again, this pure light, this loving, unconditional loving energy. And as you start to identify more with that, then this physical life becomes a lot more fun because you sort of know how to play the game. It's just like, you know, again, if you got a video game and it's really difficult, you might get frustrated and throw the remote, you know, throw the controller, be like, man, this, I can't beat this game. This is so stupid, blah, blah, blah. You get frustrated, you get angry, you have this emotional whatever. But then if you allow yourself to go through that and experience that and go, well, there has to be a way that this works better. There has to be a way where I can figure this out. There has to be, you know, you start to believe that you are capable. That starts to open up doors. And then you start to get that experience. You're like, oh, I see. I can go this way. I can go that way. I can do this. I can do that. You'd make different choices, essentially. And now the game's fun. Now you're like, ooh, I love this game. This is so cool. And then you might even go out to other people and say, hey, I want to play this game with you. Or, hey, teach me something. I'll show you something. And then we can both get better. And all these wonderful things that can happen. And we're not scared anymore. We're not fighting each other anymore. We're not trying to compete with each other. Everything is a collaboration. We're all literally one. So to fight anyone or anything is really kind of a silly thing once you get to a certain level of awareness, because you're really just fighting yourself. You're really just harming yourself in the case of a conflict or a war or whatever. So, but again, all of these experiences are sort of necessary in a sense until they're not, but they're necessary at a certain level so that it can show you that it's not required anymore. So it's this really paradoxical sort of cosmic humor that the universe is offering us in that, hey, you can just have fun. This doesn't have to be a struggle. You know, people say like the struggle is real. No, actually it's not. But you can make it real because you are that powerful. So your beliefs will create your reality because reality is whatever you want it to be. So to get back to the near-death experience, when you're seeing this and experiencing this, and this is all coming at you at light speed, and it feels like, again, there's no time. You have no concept of time or space. There is a nothingness that opens you up to the everythingness, because everything is nothing and nothing is everything. So I always tell people, if you feel like you have nothing, if you feel like you have no dollars in the bank, that's great, because nothing is everything. So you really have everything. And if you're looking at people that you think that have everything, well, don't worry about that either, because they really have nothing. So we don't have to get tripped up on what everybody else is doing. We can just sort of play our own game, however we want to play it, in the knowingness that we're being sort of gifted this game. Or I like to tell people, like, pretend you're on vacation all the time. This is sort of what this is. Imagine yourself sitting at the beach or being at the, you know, whatever your version of having a good time is, and see yourself as that, as opposed to trying to do something or trying to get something or trying to be something. You are already born perfect. There is nothing else but perfection going on other than our thinking it isn't. Again, we're very powerful creators, so we can think up whatever we want. We can think up demons and goblins and this and that, and we can think up in the other direction too. We can think up angels in heaven and beautifulness and magic and you know, all the wonderful things too. So whatever you put your attention on becomes increased. You're literally funneling universal creative energy, the same energy that created you, the same energy that created this universe, the same energy that creates everything, which is unconditional, which means that it's neutral, which means that it doesn't care what you want to create. You want to create a war? Yeah, go ahead. Here's the energy. If you have the energy, if you are, the focus is there and you're not resisting it, sure. It's a big electrical system. It's like if you have an electrical circuit, like when you were back in school and they showed you how to connect everything. If you disrupt that circuitry, the energy doesn't flow, right? Or if you put resistance into the system, it doesn't flow. This is what like Nikola Tesla was talking about with free energy and all this kind of stuff. But if you remove that resistance, or if you create a better system where the energy flows, it just flows. The electricity doesn't care if it's going to your television, it doesn't care if it's going to your car, it doesn't care if you're using it to build a spaceship, it doesn't care if you're using it to do anything. We create meaning, and from that meaning, we get an experience. And from that experience, we get a level of understanding. And from that level of understanding, we reinforce or upgrade what we believe to be so. And by allowing ourselves to say, okay, this has been my experience up to this point. No, but none of us know it all. I don't know it all. It's not about knowing it all. It's really about just knowing yourself to the best of your ability. That's where happiness comes from. That's where success comes from. That's where all the things you really want come from. It's just getting to know yourself and loving yourself unconditionally, like Source does or like the universe does, because then you just get in this amazing flow that everything becomes so much better. And after this experience, I just felt so much love after my near-death experience. It was like I wanted to just run up and hug everybody. I wanted to, you know, even someone that I maybe considered I didn't like in the past. I was like, I love you. Thank you for that experience of whatever we went through, whatever toil or, you know, conflict we went through. It's, we're on every single level, we're working together because, again, we're all one. And I just love sharing this information with people, my personal experience. And I also tell people, don't believe anything I say. I'm not here to convince you of anything. Whatever you believe is what you believe, and that's the point. However, if you want to have more fun, if you want to have more abundance in your life, you want to have more health in your life, you want to have better relationships, if you want to just enjoy the ride more, do what you would do if you were on a road trip with your best friend. What would you do if you were going across country, or, you know, you're going backpacking through Europe or something? What would you do with your best friend? You'd probably go, well, let's see what's out there. Let's sort of be a little bit loose about our what we think to be true. And, you know, the world is so, it seems so chaotic right now. But what I was also shown is that there's no such thing, because from a higher level, that chaos is actually order, right? To us here, that, you know, sort of ants on the ground, it looks like craziness and chaos because we have this limited experience. But from a much higher level, and you can tap into this, I teach people how to tap into their higher self. You could do it. Anybody can do this, where you're already wired for it. You're already born with everything you need. When you allow yourself to open up a little bit more, go, okay, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Maybe things are a little bit more malleable than I was raised to believe. You know, we were all taught something in school that we now know is completely false, right? Like Christopher Columbus didn't really discover anything, right? I always like to reference that. But in 10 years, all of the stuff you learn in that kids are going through school now will also be not true anymore, or there'll be a larger understanding of it. So don't get, the point I'm trying to make is, don't get too caught up in any one way of thinking, because beliefs by definition are limitations. And the only limitations we truly have are the ones that we impose on ourselves. We go, well, my dad always said it was like this. And my mom always said it was like that. And my school said it was like this. And my government says this. And my religious leader says this. And the guru I watch on the internet says that. And the tarot card lady says this. And the psychic medium says that. It's all wonderful. Everybody can play whatever they want to play and believe whatever they want to believe. Just be open, because that's where all the fun is. That's where the newness is. That's where the magic is. That's where you go from being unhealthy to healthy. That's where you go from being struggling with finances to thriving with finances. That's how you go from, you know, being terrible in relationships or having the same old relationship play out to, wow, I found my soulmate and life is awesome, and all these different things that can happen are only possible if we allow that sort of that faucet to open up. And much of my life, and much of the people that I've worked with, and I've worked with people all around the world, it's amazing how similar we all are, even though we come from different countries, different skin colors, different religions, etc. We're all walking around going, no, it's gotta be like this, it's gotta be like that. And if somebody says anything else, I get scared. And that's why we fight each other, because somebody's essentially, you feel like you're being your worldview is being challenged. And if your worldview is being challenged, you sort of crap your pants. And you go, well, but I've been trying so hard. I've been putting so much energy. I've been doing everything. I've been trying to be right. I've been trying to do it so I don't mess up. And what I tell people is, would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? And when you break it down into this very sort of this or that kind of a thing, it helps us because we tend to think very binary. It helps us to go, well, okay, well, why can't I be both, for example? Because you certainly want to be happy and you certainly want to be right. Why can't I be both? Well, the reason is because if you're right about something, that means somebody else has to be wrong about something. And if that's the case, you're always having to put somebody below you in a sense, or something below you in a sense. And that is just not the truth. The truth is all truths are true. So if somebody believes something diametrically opposed to what you believe, they are right, just as you are right, because in your worldview, the life experience you've had, where you come from, etc., seeing through your eyes, you are right. But nobody else can do that, right? Nobody else can walk in your shoes, actually. So from their perspective, the person on the other side of the world, they're right from their perspective. So everybody's right in a sense. So the question really shouldn't be, are we right or not? Because what's right to you is wrong to another, or, you know, it's right in this country, but it's wrong in that country. The question should really be, am I happy? Do I love myself? These are more important questions, because if I'm happy and I feel like this is right and you know this to be true, you don't really care. You don't really care what anybody else thinks. You don't really care that people are living different lifestyles or into this religion or that religion or doing this or doing that. You literally could care less. Happiness is a state of I could care less about the circumstantial minutia of life. You know, it's like the old saying, don't sweat the details, don't sweat the small details. And guess what? It's all small details. The larger thing that's really important is you getting into alignment with you. And when you're outside of this body, when you're outside of time and space in this reality, in a near-death experience or a spiritual experience or anything that expands you out, you can do this in meditation and with deep breathing. It doesn't take psychedelic drugs or any sort of really far out thing. You can just breathe in a certain way. You can tap in a certain way and expand out and feel that largeness of yourself that's bigger than just this existence that we see in physical reality. And when we do that, that's when people start to shift their life, shift the reality, shift their experience. And the whole point of all of this, like, why, what's the whole point? You know, a lot of people ask me, all right, well, if it's just about that, what's the whole point? The whole point is you're here to create. That's it. You're here to create experience, see how that goes, and then go, well, huh, it was like that. Did I like it? Did I not like it? What could I do this? I could do that. I could do this. So it's just this experience, experiment, create, see how it feels, experience, experiment, create, see how it feels. And it's just this eternal process of never really getting anywhere. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. It's just about creation for the sake of creating. And then this goes into the whole idea of manifestation, because this couples in very nicely with that. We're all manifesting all the time. That's what physical reality is. That's what life experience is. So you can't not manifest, right? If you're alive and you're in a body, you're manifesting. The question is, are you doing it in a conscious way, an aware way? And there's basically two ways to do it. You either do it through your mental capacity of trying and effort, which is like sort of the old school way, or you do it through your heart center, which is the much easier, much more impactful, much more fun way, which is not trying, it's attracting, it's allowing, it's relaxing, it's imaginational, because our bodies and our world doesn't know the difference. There's really no, imagination is just as real as what we consider real. When you dream at night, that is real, just as real as what you wake up and do that day. And you can see that your body responds the same way. So if we hook you up to electrodes and we check your biomarkers, if I tell you to imagine, you know, you sitting on the beach having a cocktail, enjoying your day, your body will respond to that just as if you were there actually doing that. So again, this is our creative power to really enjoy the ride, enjoy the road trip. And again, the journey is to nowhere or now here, right? If you put a space in nowhere, it's now here. We're on this journey to nowhere. And just like you're on this endless road trip, and the more you love yourself, the more you have fun with that road trip, the more you relax and you go, okay, people out there are doing all this stuff and I don't necessarily like that stuff, so I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm going to focus in on the things that bring me joy. I'm going to focus in on the things that I love. And so in my near-death experience, I obviously chose to come back here because I was like, well, this is actually really fun. And by the way, you have a time when you're ready to leave this body. Everybody has this. It's sort of like I describe it, like exits on a highway. You can't miss your exit, but you can choose to experience it at various stages of your life. But nobody ever leaves before their time, and nobody ever accidentally sort of misses anything. There's no accidents. There's no missteps. Everything happens perfectly, and you have choice within those things to, you know, play with the particulars of it, and you do that through your, through what you choose to do and what you choose to focus on. But you can exit at age, let's say 30 or 50 or 100, and all of it will be perfect as long as you get what you came here to do. And some people want more time than others, and some people don't. And we even are creative with how we exit. We'll create diseases, we'll create a car crash, we'll create all these different number of things. We'll create a pandemic. we'll create whatever suits our personal perspective. And so the main message I like to tell people is, there's nothing to fear. There's absolutely no fear. And one of the acronyms I like to give for fear is feeling excited and ready. That's really what fear stands for, because there's really only one energy. And that's when we feel joy, that's really all that there is. But when we have beliefs, we package that energy in bubbles of beliefs that limit or change that experience. So the feeling of experience is really a belief, a negative belief that we have about something or another. And when we unravel that or see through that, then it becomes joy. So when you're feeling fear, like maybe you're nervous about public speaking, you know, you might be nervous before getting on a podcast like this or something like that. But that's really excitement. Your body's going, ooh, we're about to do something fun. Or, you know, if you're about to give a presentation or get up on stage, I've done a stand-up comedy in the past too. You get nervous, right? You're like, ooh, I wonder if people are going to find this funny. But the reason why you feel the negative thing is because you're like, what if they don't like it? What if I mess up? What if this happens? What if I make a mistake? What if I say the wrong thing? Blah, 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 blah. We have all these different things. And by the way, psychologists have now found that we're mostly thinking negative thoughts all day. And it's like a playlist on a loop. And then everybody's wondering why they're scared all the time, or why they're, you know, why all these diseases are popping up out of nowhere. And everybody's, all of that stuff is our belief systems being manifested in all of these creative endeavors. And again, when you just get to the simple center of yourself, which you can do in just a couple deep breaths. And if you'd like, I can give you a little gift here at the end where somebody can use a very simple tool to give themselves the permission, because you're already there, but we have to give ourselves permission because we think we have to earn everything, which you don't. I can give you a little tool that you can use to allow yourself the permission to access this. And if you practice this, you will see through the illusion, you'll see through the false beliefs. And again, what's left is this sense of bliss or joy or peace or just an elevated sense of happiness. And it's like, you know, the old Buddhist saying, I think the Buddha said this or is quoted as saying this, is that there is no way to happiness. The car won't make you happy. The money won't make you happy. The relationship will make you happy. the status won't make you happy. Whatever you think is going to make you happy will not. And all you have to do is look around at the world and observe people who supposedly have it all and see that they're not really that happy. Happiness is the way. So there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. In other words, you have to choose to be happy now. You have to decide that that's how you're going to be now. And then from there, other things that are representative of your happiness come into your experience. That's how you attract from the heart level. You have to tap into the heart. You have to feel that sense of love within yourself, feel that sense of happiness. And then you're able to see what was already there, because everything already exists. But now you're able to see it. You've wiped your lenses clean, so to speak. And now you can see a deeper truth, which was that you were born perfect. And it's amazing how many people are resistant to that idea. People don't want to hear that. They're like, what do you mean? I'm perfect. I got all this stuff. I messed up in the past. You know, I live with my parents and I'm 30. You know, I had a divorce, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You're focused in on the small details that don't matter. You know, we even have a saying, the devil is in the details, right? If you want to play with the devil, go into the details. The God in us or the universe in us zooms out. So our thinking zooms in on details. Our heart zooms us out to who we really are, our higher self, our universal self, our loving self, our soul, the light that is within us. And as you just focus on the things that you enjoy, you will be shown where your roadblocks are. It'll just come into your experience. So the more comfortable, the more relaxed we are, the more in our comfort zone, the more in our relaxed nervous state that we can be in, the rest and digest, it starts to open us up to everything that we once thought was a limitation, and they start to dissolve. And then you're like, whoa, this is awesome. Now I can finally do the thing I've always wanted to do. I can be the thing I've always wanted to be. I can enjoy the things that I enjoy, and I don't have to essentially limit myself in that kind of a way. And then you start to see, after doing this for about, I've been doing this for about 20 years, because I started before the near-death experience, and now I've been doing it so far after, you start to see that this is an endless process. It just keeps going, especially as we're in this physical body, because this structure that we're in, which is here for us, created by us, to give us this journey experience, you start to see that, oh, that's the whole point. The limitation allows for the creation, you could say. Because in that perfectly perfect state, the higher self you, the sort of heavenly state, let's call it, the perfected state, you don't have experience there. It's sort of like we needed to create an illusion of darkness compared to the light so that we can see something within ourselves and experience ourselves. We sort of set it up to forget all of this stuff so that we can have a journey of remembering, because that's really fun. And people are taking it in very different ways, as you can see play out on the planet, and that's their right. That's their journey. That's their path. That's what they actually signed up for. And a lot of people will hear this and go, yeah, but what about the person that's homeless? Or what about the person in a war-torn country? What about a person that's, I'm a white guy in America, right? I'm privileged. That whole line of thinking is assuming that your life is better than somebody else's, or somebody else's life can be worse than yours. And that's not true. I've traveled all around the world. I've met so many different people. And some of the people that are supposedly in the worst positions are actually some of the happiest people. And I've met people that are very wealthy and seem to have it all that are very unhappy. So life is not about our life circumstances or situations. That's not really the ticket. It's what's going on within you. It's an inside job. And interestingly enough, people that seem to be more connected to nature versus being inside of a house all day or being connected to technology all day. It's not that those things are bad, but if we lose that connection to nature, we tend to get very unhappy. We tend to get very stressed. We tend to get very self-defeating and we second guess ourselves. But as soon as you go outside for a walk for 10 minutes, now all of a sudden you're under the sky, you're maybe seeing some trees, you're breathing fresh air. This is so helpful to our system on so many levels, not just biologically, but to our psyche and to our connection to all that is opens up. And nature doesn't judge, right? Nature doesn't tell you how to be. Whereas an art structure or a building, right? A building is like a piece of artwork. If you live in a city, you have all these buildings around you and they're giving you information, right? Because somebody created that and put an intention into that and said, this is how, cities should look. That influences you. Every time you see an ad on TV, that all this stuff influences us. But when you go out into nature, it's like freeform. It's like open source. It's abstract. It's more abstract. It's more fractalized. It's more allowing of you to just be who you are. You don't have to prove anything to nature. You don't have to, state how you identify yourself. You don't have to have a religion. None of that stuff that we've created in society is out there, really. These are all agreements that we're making with each other that, again, that experience that's sitting on top of the real reality. Nature is kind of that baseline connection to all that is. And I'm always encouraging people to just get a couple minutes outside each day. 10 to 20 minutes seems to be the ideal minimum. But if you just think about it, about 150 years ago on this current Earth timeline, we were outside pretty much 85% of the time, 90% of the time. We were outdoors, we were doing something, we were working with something, we were creating something, building something, farming, etc. And now we're about 85 to 90% inside. And now we're like, what's going on? Everybody's stressed out, everybody's got anxiety. Depression pills are the number one sold thing and all this other kind of crazy stuff is going on. You don't have to play the game the way you're being taught to play the game. And it's all about finding the way that you truly want to play it, becoming your authentic self, that, again, tapping into your heart. And again, this is what I was shown. Everything comes from this heart-centered place. And this is how our higher mind guides us. It guides us through our heart, and it gives us this insight or this inspiration or this idea or this cool thing, this excitement for life. And you see it in little children. And then by the time we're 7, we have this thing called an ego fully sort of formed. And we start to identify as a boy, a girl, a this, a that, a whatever. And so that initial sort of pure intention or inspiration now gets filtered up through whatever we believe ourselves to be, which is why you have to be careful about how you talk to yourself and other people. If you tell a kid that they're bad enough times, they're going to start to believe it. If you tell a kid that they're good enough times, they're going to believe that. Tell a kid that they're bad at math or something, they're going to fulfill that prophecy, unless they're really rebellious and they don't listen. And then that pure thing can come up and go, no, I'm actually perfect the way I am. And in cultures around the world, like there's many cultures in Africa and different places where they don't raise their children like we do in the modern Western, sort of Americanized way of thinking. The way I was raised is sort of, you have to become something, you have to earn something, you have to go out and get a degree, you have to go out and work, you have to go out and, build yourself up and make sure you get a good education. And a lot of other places, they're like, no, the divine spirit made you perfect, though, just the way you are. Now let's see what that expresses. Where's your genius, basically? What are you here to do? What are you here to gift the world? And at any point in time, we can switch to that. And I always tell people, you can always go back to the old way. the stressed out, unhappy way is always going to be there. All of the possibilities exist. You get to change the radio station or the TV station. What if for just a couple minutes every day, you decided that you were born perfectly, You don't have to tell anybody, just in your own mind, play this little game. What if you were born perfectly and you were actually here to give a gift or express something? And you don't have to do it on the internet, you don't have to do it anywhere in particular, but just by being yourself, just by sitting in your room, being yourself fully, that actually sends a frequency out that elevates everything and is a part of this larger system. Just like in your body, I have cells, I have trillions of cells, right? I have cells in my eye, in my heart, in my knees, in my big toe, in my hair. And what if my hair cell was convinced somehow that it needed to be my heart cell? Well, then my body would be confused, right? This needs to be this, and my heart needs to be that, and everything needs to play its role out. And it's all birthed in a certain kind of way to be perfectly that for the whole organism that is me. And you can see the universe like this. We're all these cells in this organism, and if you sort of don't play your part, and by that just mean have the best time, do the things that inspire you, follow your joy, follow your passion, follow your bliss to the best of your ability, in whatever way that makes sense to you. That's how we allow the organism to become its healthiest self, or its happiest self, or its fullest self. And you can't mess it up, because it's just how you were made. It's just how you were created. I'm always going to be me. And here's the other cool part. You can't mess this up. That's what I was told, another message. You literally cannot mess this up. Even if you do something that you consider to be horrendous, or wrong, or blasphemous, or, you know, whatever. Whatever you think the worst thing that you could possibly do is, even if you did that, you still can't mess it up. So give yourself a break, which will allow you to give everybody else a break and get out of their business, and just focus within, just focus in on yourself. That's where all the fun is. That's where all the magic is. And that's why we're going through all of these experiences, and why things continue to crash and crumble. If you continue to put your energy and focus out there on, you know, what you think your job is supposed to be, what you think your relationship is supposed to be, what you think government is supposed to be, what you think the world is supposed to be, you will just continue to see it collapse. And it's happening faster and faster now, because we're speeding up in a sense, we're awakening in a sense more quickly. And that's why everything's crumbling out there, because it's not real. And we're ready to awaken to a much more harmonious, more loving way of being with each other. And this idea of harmony, I want to point out, because I know we're getting to the end of time here. Harmony is not everybody singing the same note. It's all of these different variations of notes coming together to make something unique, right? That's what harmony is. All these different instruments, all these different chords, all these different perspectives. Allowing each other to be their thing, and then we find where we overlap, like a jazz band coming together, playing the instruments, making up a funky groove and a funky tune that is allowing each individual to play their part in whatever way they feel they need to express in that moment. And the more we allow ourselves to do that personally, the more we allow everybody else to do that out there, and then you start to see a whole different reality. And that's how we create a so-called heaven on earth. It's already here. The way I see it is, the way, what we're here to do is bring more of that understanding into this reality. And that's how evolution works. We're bringing more of these higher concepts. That's why we've had all these breakthroughs in the last 100 to 200 years in physics, quantum physics, different philosophies, you know, different technologies, the internet. I'm speaking to you from somewhere else in the world. This is, you know, if you go back 100 years with this, you'd be like, you're a magician. You're literally an alien from outer space that's using this glass to, you know, do all this crazy stuff. We're showing ourselves our power and our ability to manifest the reality that we most prefer. And when you go around, I've spoken to people in all different kinds of religions from all different places around the world. Everybody wants the same thing. They want to be happy. They just want their family to be well. They want to just have enough food to eat and go out and watch the movies they like. Everybody just wants to have a peaceful existence, really, when you get down to it. But when you're in fear, you get into fight mode. And that's what this era is coming to a close. We're seeing how ridiculous it is to participate in these things. And our power, our true power, is what we give attention to. So if you don't like war, you don't fight the old way. You create something new that makes the old way obsolete. You focus in a new direction. Okay, this is where I come from. This is where I came from. We all come from a warring background in some kind of way, or conflict or struggle or whatever. Okay, well, where do we want to go? Let's look through the front windshield instead of the back windshield, and let's see where we want to go. Okay, we want to go to a happier place. Okay, well, let me be an advocate for that. Let me place my attention on that. What does that look like for me? And it's going to show up in a billion zillion different ways, because we all have something unique within us, some type of light or spark, or I believe we're all geniuses. And when we allow ourselves to tap and play into that, then all of a sudden we get on this really cool ride. And that's sort of what everybody's looking for their purpose. You don't go looking for your purpose. That's not how it works, because you just keep chasing something. You tap within, you see where your joy lies, and then the path shows up, and then you start to walk it because you decided within you that that's what you want to experience. So then the universe just goes, okay, you get whatever you want. You get whatever you want. And it happens at an energetic level first, which is why you have to keep going and keep pursuing that understanding, keep tapping back in, keep practicing that awareness, because it first happens energetically and then it filters down into physical reality. The way that we feel and the way that we think literally creates reality. And that's, in a nutshell, what I was shown in the inner workings of how that all works, and it's still unfolding to me to this day. But the only thing, if you walk away with nothing else, is that you are the creator of your reality, meaning where you focus becomes more. And I'm not the first person to say this, and I won't be the last to say it, but repetition is the mother of mastery. And the more people hear this from more different people, there's many great teachers out there right now. There's many great teachings through all different kinds of.
This show is brought to you in part by Studio 6 Media Productions.
I see it in other people's religions. It's everywhere once you start to notice it. So just sit back, relax, have fun, follow your joy.